Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the program Greg Keffer, who's Vice President of Corporate Marketing at GT Nexus. And today we're going to talk about digital transformation in the supply chain, closing the gap between current realities and future expectations. Now, digital transformation in the supply chain is a topic that's getting a lot of, you know, a buzz and attention these days. A lot of companies are really looking into it. But the question becomes, you know, where exactly are we today? What does that mean? Where do companies see themselves in a few years? You know, what are some of the hurdles to overcome? I mean, those are a lot of the questions that I know I have. I know a lot of the companies that I work with have. And, you know, just recently, GT Nexus, along with Capgemini, released a results of a survey that they did with over 300, you know, large companies in North America and Europe that shed some light on this. So, it's great to have Greg in the program to, you know, shed some light in terms of what came out of that survey and kind of what he's hearing and seeing from, you know, the companies that they work with. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that if you do have a question for Greg as we're having our conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button. And if it's a good and appropriate question, I'll try to weave it into the conversation. So with that, Greg, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here, Adrian. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, let's, you know, digital transformation, like I said, I just said right now, a lot of buzz going on right now in this topic. And yeah, a lot of the analysts are talking about it. You see it in the trade publications. You see it in the conferences. So before we kind of dive into, kind of the results of the survey and what you've learned from there, let's start with a very basic, you know, question. That is, you know, what exactly is digital transformation in supply chain and why so much buzz today?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things that's probably a definition that's in the eye of the beholder. You can put a lot of things under that very broad definition. But, you know, for us, you know, we kind of think of supply chains, we think of it in the context of networks, you know, multitudes of different companies and partners working together. And, you know, you're right, there's a lot of buzz about it, but very few of the other reports and stories that we're reading get into how networks orchestrate in this world of digital transformation. You know, so obviously there's a lot of noise about IT and social and Internet of Things and big data and robots and digital printing and all sorts of great, wonderful, cool technologies. But, you know, digital transformation probably encompasses all of that, right? But, you know, we also know, and you would know better than I, since you're out talking to companies all the time, that, you know, they're not really that far along. There's still a lot of manual processes. And so, you know, we tried to set out and find, okay, well, what are some of these companies doing? How do they see it? Where do they see themselves? How do they rate themselves in the context of orchestrating as a network? Because we deal with a lot of big corporations here at GT Nexus that have big, huge global value chains where they're talking about having to interact with tens of thousands of partners, right? So if you look at a number like 80% of the data that you need to run your supply chain really isn't inside your company, but it's across your network with you're residing in your partner systems, right? That's a big roadblock. You know, you can have a really cool system, but if you don't have the data, the oil to make the system run, then how far along on this journey are you really today? So, you know, that's sort of how we approached it and tried to shed some light on that. But at the same time, as you noted, it's a very hypey thing these days. And, you know, you talk to another consultant or another technologist and they'll probably have a very different version of it. But we kind of see digital transformation is really, you know, if there's the, you know, the land of Oz that we're all trying to walk down the yellow brick road to get to, you know, it really is that fully automated end-to-end view and, you know, orchestration that has been talked about for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, right? But we're getting much closer. So I think that's the good news.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, I tend to think of it, you know, when you look at this whole evolution, it's just kind of the next phase of this evolution that started, you know, arguably with, you know, the rise of the internet and the web, right? And kind of
right.
That started out, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And at that time, everybody was talking about e-business, right? Electronic business and how, you know, a lot of the things that were once done manually or once done paper-based were going to be become more electronic or digitized. Yeah, you fast forward to today and you still see a lot of manual
Yeah.
processing taking place. You still see a lot of paper in the supply chain. But now, even though you have that, I still, what I see as changing is, you still continue to push the envelope, but the technology continues to push the envelope, what's possible, right? So when you've got all the buzz around Internet of Things, all the buzz around big data, so on and so forth, I think we've reached this point where, because companies have to make smarter decisions faster because of everything that's happening, from a competitive standpoint, a regulatory standpoint, globalization, I think the rubber really needs to meet the road now in terms of really accelerating, the need to truly go from what was e-business, 20, 30 years ago, to what we're now talking about as being kind of digital transformation. I mean, do kind of you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think the internet, when the internet came along, kind of the gloves came off, right? I mean, companies were trying to build their own networks with EDI and, but they were all building their own little proprietary power grids, And when the internet came along, suddenly we had a utility that everyone was connected to. And that kind of solved that connection problem, right? Excuse me. But now today, you look at it, and not only are computers connected to each other and to big systems like ERP systems, but you've got armies. Everybody walks around with a computer in their hand that's connected to the internet, the mobile scene, right? So it's just, it's still early, I think, but with the internet and cloud, we solved that connectivity problem that was really trying to be solved through very expensive, very cumbersome, very slow, rigid, hardwired networks. And that's all being replaced now by the cloud. I mean, if you look at something like Facebook or LinkedIn, that kind of collaboration, you couldn't go out and build that yourself. That needed the internet where everybody was there to happen. And even today, I think if a company came along with superior software to whatever LinkedIn uses, superior business collaboration software experience, the reality is they're not going to unseat LinkedIn because everybody's already there, right? So, the days of, building out beautiful, cool, feature function rich software, while very important, isn't really the lead story. It's how are you going to get the information to make all this cool stuff go. And I think that's what we've seen companies learning over the past decade or so, where it's not as simple as, hooking up two EDI connections because, data is messy and boring and hard to clean and link and rationalize. So you really have to rethink the way information exchange is done, and the internet is the way to make that happen. So yeah, you're spot on with that thought, Adrian.
Right. No, I agree. And again, you brought up the cloud and the role of networks, and certainly that's playing another big role here. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in terms of the role of technology. But let's talk a little bit about now this survey that I referenced. So, Capgemini, GT Nexus, you guys got together. You did the survey of over 325 executives, I think, from large companies in North America and Europe to really gain some insight on what the current state of digital transformation supply chain is and where companies expect to be, in 5 years. So let's start with where we are today. Where exactly are companies today?
Well, I think that if I had to boil it down, and there's some really good juicy facts that we uncovered, I'll try not to read all of my graphs that I'm surrounded by here. But I think that there's a big, strong vision, okay, that they all kind of understand that digital transformation is a very good thing. I mean, we're seeing like 75, 80 percentile responses, which, as a researcher, normally it's like 32, 41, but to see 75, 80% saying, yes, this is a big deal and we have a strategy and we're on it. So clearly the vision is there. But when you kind of click into it, and start asking questions around, well, how are you doing? We fall right back into what you might expect, which is, yeah, we're on this journey, but we're not there. We're still using paper and fax and phone and email to make these big supply chains run. And what I find really interesting about this, again, is because one of the things we did in this survey is we really focused the questions around digital transformation, not just with you, Mr. Customer, the company, but your entire network, right? So, the data here shows that these guys still have a long way to go, but they certainly have the vision. And I think that you know, they, we ask them some questions further out, and, you know, they have some high expectations as well. So I guess the good news is everybody understands it and knows it's a good thing and they need it to survive, but they're definitely on a journey and they're definitely not there yet. And I think that's really interesting because, you know, 337 execs at big companies across North America and Europe is a very decent sample size. And when I saw the numbers, I thought, well, that's the kind of data you would get when you ask 30 people something, right? When you ask 300, wow, okay, that's statistically viable information. And wow, I mean, I thought when I saw the data come back, I hadn't actually seen a survey with swings like this where it was that almost universal belief that you really need to get here. And I guess that's a good sign, right? I mean, the market has shifted away from it's all about reducing cost, right, to transformation. When you hear that from supply chain executives, they're rethinking supply chain as a strategic weapon as opposed to a cost center, which is, I think, that's a good development.
No, I absolutely, absolutely. So it sounds like, you know, kind of paraphrase a little bit of what you said there. You know, there's strong belief that, you know, among the companies you surveyed, that digital transformation is something that needs to happen, and it's something that they are going to be working toward. They're not anywhere near where they want to be yet. So, but where is it? Where is it that they want to be? I mean, where do they see themselves, let's say, in 5 years? What are some of the objectives or the attributes that they want to strive toward over the next 5 years?
Right. Yeah. So they all, like, you know, just to give a quick, throw a few numbers, you know, they 75% say it's very important, and 70% said we've launched an initiative, right? But then only 5% are satisfied with the progress. Whoa. Okay. So it's going way too slow. I mean, that's a huge, huge disconnect to go from 75 to only 5% satisfaction, right? So I think that, you know, when you get into out into the 5-year horizon, let me just dig it up here. It's really significant where, you know, they're saying that 95% of these guys expect that in 5 years they'll have all their processes with their suppliers automated. Like 95%. That's almost like 100% of people are believing in that. And, you know, that's dealing with networks that number in the thousands and thousands of suppliers in many cases, right? It's some big supply chain. So, you know, we're seeing some really, really high, lofty expectations. So to go from we're satisfied, only 5 out of 100 are satisfied, to 95 out of 100 say, oh, yeah, we're going to be doing all this wonderful stuff in 5 years. That's a pretty big delta. That's a pretty big chasm to cross. But I feel like the optimism is good to see. Ironically, we had done a survey about 2 months ago on a related topic, and, you know, one of the questions we kind of got into with the respondents was, you know, do you have the role of chief supply chain officer in your organization, right? And 70% don't, right? So kind of the opposite. And if you think about what a CSCO would do at a company, that's the one that's going to have to advocate transformation to a CEO or a CIO, right? And so what we found in that survey was they were still very focused on cutting costs. So you do get these kind of these counterintuitive findings out there. But the good news is that, you know, the expectations are high, and it's so high that I think that it's going to only get speeded up. And, you know, we all want to see that happen, because I think people like you and I are sick of going to conferences and hearing about how hard it is, right?
Right. Well, I think, you know, and obviously people can read the report and see all the specific data that you have there collected in the survey. But I think, you know, my main takeaway was that, like you said, that chasm between, or that gap between where we are today, where companies are today, and where they want to be in 5 years. I mean, I think, you know, this lofty goal of having, you know, 95% of the companies seeing or expecting to be fully automated, you know, the supply chain processes to be fully automated, I think is you know, one of those stretch goals, and so the million-dollar question then becomes, particularly over the next 5 years, you know, how do you close that gap, right? How can companies, you know, close that gap? And, you know, to me the first question becomes, what are the barriers that have to be overcome? And I think you mentioned one of them already, which is really, you know, the fact that companies don't have you know, a large percentage don't have a chief supply chain officer or point person there to help drive this, I think is certainly one of the barriers. What other barriers do you see or do you hear from companies that, you know, that they need to overcome in order to get to where they want to be in 5 years?
Well, you know, I think there's still a disconnect between the business side, you know, the supply chain house and the IT department, you know, the CIO's department, where they're still somewhat hung up in implementing software systems, enterprise software systems, and trying to build their way out of this challenge. And, you know, while they're beginning to see the light on cloud in certain areas, I don't know if it's fully hit in supply chain. So I think that's a big barrier, you know, and, you know, you've got to get the IT department to look at the, you know, the network part of the supply chain, the, you know, the orchestration that needs to take place, and put a focus on that and really think outside the box, because it isn't as simple as hosting software, right, and using software. Again, it goes back to the data. And supply chain is unique in that context. I mean, you know, look, everyone uses a CRM system, and Salesforce.com is a wonderful tool. But the data all comes from my own people. You know, we use it, and my sales guys and my internal people are the ones putting the data in there. It's not like I'm relying on other companies to provide the information I need to make the tool work. And supply chain is very unique in that dimension. You know, we've done research also about, you know, what percent of the data is controlled by your partners, and it's 82%, right? So that's very hard to do, considering that your partners are often very large companies with very big systems and big IT departments themselves. It's not that simple just to hook up an EDI feed. So, you know, I still think that the missing element, even with all the cloud hype that's going on out there right now, is the network aspect of it and the data. Because, you know, I like to say you can go out and buy a Lamborghini, you know, a big shiny $200,000 race car, but yet the only fuel that's available for that car is 50 octane, right? So is that car really going to race down the road, you know, of Monaco at 300 miles an hour, is it going to sputter and smoke, right? And I think that's the part that the market still doesn't understand. And, you know, I think that the vision is strong enough where maybe they'll come around. So that, I think that's a big one. I think that's a big one. Obviously, you know, there's just companies are just caught up in their own mud. You know, there's just so much going on that it's just very hard to change these big ships. And I think that's obviously another big part of it. But you know, we've you know, DG Nexus, we've been in the business for a number of years, and you know, we've got a lot of big companies that are using a network-based platform to get to that promised land. So, you know, it's a much different story than it was a decade ago. So just based on first-hand experience, you know, you are seeing some very large players move into the realm that they need to get into to be successful.
No, great, great point. I mean, I think the, you know, kind of to paraphrase a little bit what you said, I mean, it's the reality that, you know, any one of these companies that you surveyed, you know, they can have this drive, this determination, even the senior leadership sponsorship in terms of moving towards, you know, digital transformation. But the reality is that if only they're doing it and none of their trading partners are, their carriers, their suppliers, their customers, their 3PLs, so on and so forth, you know, they're not going to get there. So they, in many ways, they have to work with all this, the entire ecosystem to really, you know, align their efforts around digital transformation, especially if they're trying to get to this 95% automated processes, right? Because, yeah, you mentioned that, you know, 80% of the data resides outside their four walls, and these business processes extend beyond their four walls. So they really, you know, I would see that part of the challenge is really creating that motivation and buy-in from, you know, all the partners in the ecosystem, you know, to get there. And arguably, you know, with a network platform, at least from a technology standpoint, that provides some level of foundation to help, you know, enable that. I would assume that you would agree with that.
Absolutely. And here's the problem. You know, you could get, say, 60% of your partners to go in lockstep with you, right? But if that other 40% is in the old days, right, and kind of holding out, it's a massive problem for you, right? Because it's a chain, and you need communities of partners to perform to make a supply chain go. You know what I mean? I mean, you could get all your logistics carriers totally locked in, aligned, feeding 100% data quality to your system. But it turns out your drayage provider, you know, at origin is an old world company and doesn't want to do it. And so that, you know, that broken link in the chain cascades down, right? Where you've got a weak player, and, you know, how do you get that, you know, universal adoption? And again, it's a iterative process, but it's challenging. And you know, we are seeing some really nice advancements in the area of logistics, you know, like the ocean air and air providers, the big 3PLs, you know, kind of the, you know, where you're looking at 100 companies that are involved in the supply chains of most of the big companies in the world, they've gotten religion around it, and they're really making an effort. But, you know, you move to the next tier, which is truckers, where there's thousands of different mom and pop truckers, and suppliers, where there's tens of thousands of factories in third world countries that barely are connected to a phone, let alone having a, you know, an EDI capability. So, you know, these are the kinds of challenges that, you know, in some respects, the enterprises have to find ways to make it, you know, affordable and worthwhile for these partners, because the partnerships are very important to them. You know, that they make a key component, and, you know, they value those relationships, but they can't do it at the expense of the partner's ability to make money, right? Where suddenly they're taking on a $70,000 IT project, and they, you know, they're losing money on you, right? So that's another dimension that poses some challenges to making this all work. But again, think of phones, right? Think of, you know, 10 years ago, could you imagine that you could join and be a cab driver if you had a mobile device in a car, right? So, you know, innovation is going at such a speed that a lot of these barriers are coming down. And, you know, hey, if it's a mobile phone that makes you be compliant as a supplier, and you have a cool mobile app that you can update WIP and shipping info and all that stuff at origin that is compliant, then that's a win for everybody. And the partner doesn't need to go out and make a huge IT investment, right? So the overall barrier of IT cost is coming down really fast. And so I think that's going to really help this digital transformation vision, you know, speed up. And who knows, maybe it will happen in 5 years, like our respondents are expecting.
Yeah, no, great point. I mean, obviously technology is going to play a huge role here. And we're already seeing that with, like you just said, mobile technologies, you know, the cloud, you know, so on and so forth. So I think that's going to be a key enabler and accelerator there. Just to kind of round up, you know, the role of technology here, you know, what kind of key capabilities around technology do you see kind of being the most important in kind of enabling digital transformation in the supply chain?
Well, we asked that question. And again, these are, you know, you could pick more than one, but, and I don't know if these will surprise you, but, you know, visibility, supply chain visibility, the ability to see, right? A foundational capability. You know, it's hard to automate a process if you don't know what the root cause is, right? So, you know, when we asked them, you know, what are the capabilities that are going to allow you to reach that vision that you have for 5 years out? Supply chain visibility was cited 95% of the time as a key enabler. There was some systems data from their partners where they're expecting to be collaborating with their suppliers, which is like 94%, and, you know, bigger, better analytics as an enabler was another hot topic. We're 92%. So think about that. Literally 9 out of 10 people are saying, you know, collaboration, visibility, and analytics. Hey, and people like you, Adrian, have been talking about this for a long time, right? But maybe it's because of that they believe that. But, you know, those were not big surprises. You know, we did ask some questions about robotics and digital printing and RFID and some other things, and they did well, but not at that scale. And I frankly agree with those findings. I think those three things aren't like, wow, that's really surprising. I can't believe they said that. You know, it's kind of in line with what we were hoping when we went into this thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been at this, you know, as an analyst now for almost 18 years, and I would say visibility. Oh, whenever you put visibility in any kind of survey, it's usually number one or definitely in the top three. And I often refer to it as kind of the elusive goal that many companies have, because, you know, it goes beyond just the software. You know, I think we talked about a lot of the things is the fact that, you know, a lot, you know, to feed a visibility tool, you've got to get the data in. It's got to be clean. It's got to be accurate. It's got to be complete. You know, so there's a lot of things that go just beyond, you know, the software to make that happen. So again, I think the other thing that's important too is, you know, to your point, I mean, these things are not necessarily new. They're not necessarily surprising. I think really to get to that, you know, those desired objectives that companies have around digital transformation is really now finally to start walking the talk around breaking down functional silos and around collaboration and things like that. And obviously technology has continued to improve and evolve to bring down some of those historical barriers that might have been around, ease of implementation or cost or things like that. But I think that you still have those non-technical aspects that play a role as well to make this happen.
Right.
Obviously, what came out of the survey was, a lot of high expectations, a lot of, strong vision, and this drive to move in this direction. So I would assume that, there's got to be some kind of higher level, upper level, support for this, right? To get buy-in from the CEO and the CFO to really drive this. I mean, and so that kind of relates to what kind of benefits the companies expect to achieve as a result of digital transformation. Did kind of the results or of the survey or the conversation you've had with customers kind of reveal anything around that front?
Well, I think what's happening, and again, I think you would have probably heard or seen this over your 18 years in your analyst role, but really, information is power, right? I mean, at the end of the day, he who has the information can make better decisions than he or she who doesn't. And as global as supply chains have gotten more global. And they've also at the same time been leaned out, right? Where everyone's trying to be lean, which makes things brittle and nimble. And then you have these events like the Japan earthquake, or I read recently, before I heard about this, a furnace smelter blows up in western Japan, and it turns out that the metal that place makes is the metal for Toyota transmissions and engine blocks, right? What does Toyota have to do? They have to shut down, I believe it was 16 assembly plants for a week. And they're going to make 35,000 fewer cars in 2016 than they would have, right? That's a big deal, right? And it's so that you've got the disruption aspect that's really hitting companies on the bottom line. And then there's the opportunistic aspect where, for example, we have a lot of retail customers here that are racing to get stores opened in Asia, where the emerging economies of Eastern China and Vietnam and Malaysia and if you don't move and get set up there quickly, an upstart competitor is going to come in and get that market before you do, right? So, this boils down to agility, operational agility, and really it boils down to if you're not agile and responsive, whether it's, how you respond to a disruption because you are global or how you take advantage of an opportunity, you're in for a world of hurt at a corporate level. I mean, this is the kind of stuff where if companies aren't really, really good at this, they're going to have a lot of problems sustaining themselves and growing. And I believe that message is finally making its way up to the C-suite of companies. And I do believe that there is desire to get to this promised land. However, there's still a lot of noise and confusion around how to get there. And there's a big established world of technology, right? That's all built and based on the 80s and 90s, right? They're big companies and consultant firms and hardware providers that make a lot of money with the status quo. And then there's an army of upstarts that are nipping away at this thing. And that creates a lot of noise and confusion. And I believe it's up to people like you and forums like this to educate the market. I'd add that, I believe that enough companies have been in this new world game for a while. I'm talking about big companies, right? Where they're getting to a point where they're beginning to show and demonstrate and talk about value to a point where it's no longer just the land of the innovators or the risk takers. But whenever a market flips, you need case studies and you need corporates to be talking about what they did, right? And so that there's proof points. So it's no longer as risky because obviously big companies, especially when it comes to their supply chain, obviously it's not a place to mess around, right? And if you've got leaders, we've got customers like Pfizer and Levi's and Caterpillar that are out at events, talking about what they did and going into the press, talking about what they're doing. And as that continues, if that pace continues, it makes it much, much easier for maybe a more conservative company to kind of get into the pond, right, and start swimming. So we're beginning to see a lot of that, and I think that that's only going to speed it up. And I think we're about to enter the phase where now it's becoming the land of if you're not doing it this way, you're more of an outsider. You know, you think of CRM, right? CRM systems that I talked about, Salesforce.com earlier. How many companies are actually going out and buying and installing a CRM system through licensed enterprise software like in the days of Siebel systems these days, right? Is anybody not using CRM in the cloud, right? So will that point happen in supply chain? I think it will, because unlike CRM, where it's, you know, superior economics, in supply chain, you really can't get to this promised land of networks and information sharing that we've been talking about without going into the cloud, right? So I think once that becomes embedded in the right minds and you get the right C-suite and then you have enough of these examples and the pressures to make the company survive really become more mainstream and embedded, I think we'll be off to the races. And maybe it could be as soon as 5 years, as our survey respondents are hoping.
Right. And I think just like, you know, we talked about before, is the reality that, you know, in order to make digital transformation a reality, it's not just about one company. It's about the whole ecosystem. It's about bringing all the partners on board. And again, that's where the cloud, where network-based, you know, platforms really come into play, because that's the only way it's going to really truly happen. Certainly that's my opinion as well. You know, Greg, we're kind of running up short on time here. So I'm just going to go right to my last question here, kind of as a way to wrap up. I mean, what steps should companies take, you know, start taking today to start driving digital transformation in their supply chains and achieve the desired outcomes, you know, where they want to be in 5 years?
Well, I do believe that, you know, you touched on it a minute ago. There's a reason everyone always picks supply chain visibility as their first pick when asked. And I think that's the first move. Like what we like to say is, you got to turn the lights on. You know, you're operating in the dark. You may have pockets of visibility here and there, but you need that end-to-end view. And what that's going to do is that's going to shed light on a value chain and show you pain points and problems that you probably didn't know about. You know, again, you think about visibility, you know, getting that network hooked up, turning those lights on, and then taking that information, feeding it into an analytics engine, right, where you're now beginning to have that insight, where now you can make smart decisions about where you need to automate a process or change a partner out who's been underperforming. You never knew it before. You know, it turns out that partner X is the one that's been causing all this pain, and you never knew it because you never had the data, right? So, you know, information is power. And I think that companies need to think about an information strategy that's different than perhaps how they've thought about it before. And, you know, we've covered this at length in this interview, but I think that, you know, you've got to get your value chain into the cloud. You've got to get your data flowing and get that visibility going. And again, it doesn't have to be a 5 or 10 year odyssey to get there. You know, with the beautiful thing about cloud also is you don't have to go all in right away. You know, you can turn the lights on. You know, for example, one of the things we often prescribe customers is just get your ocean and your international legs turned on in logistics, right? Because it's only a handful of partners. It's under 20 typically. And now you've got kind of the middle of the hourglass. You know, if the hourglass is the supply chain, and that where the sand goes through is really the international leg, and you begin to see that, and then you sort of build out from there on either end, and then you would say click into the container, right, and look at a pallet or a carton, and then down to a SKU, and then all the related orders. So you roll it out in phases. So it isn't a let's spend the next 10 years working on this. You're getting value in 4, 6, 8 months, and begin to demonstrate value, which of course then helps speed up investment and commitment by the C-suite, IT department, etc. So I think that's probably a big one. And I think if you don't have a seat at the C-suite table, you need to get one. You know, that survey I had mentioned previously, I thought that was rather shocking, that, you know, that there isn't a C-level leader in the supply chain. At least that's what the data showed us. I knew that there would be a gap, but I didn't think it would be 2/3 of companies. I thought that was rather incredible. So, you know, you've got to get there and have a voice, because as we all know, in the supply chain, oftentimes these mandates come down from the top and they don't really understand what it means and what it takes to do that mandate. So the only way you're going to get out of being on defense and being out of a cost center is to have a voice in the strategic discussions that are taking place. And it's all about growth and survival of these companies, as far as I'm concerned.
Greg, great points, great advice there. You know, we're out of time. And, you know, like I always say at the end of all our episodes, you know, we always manage to scratch the surface of all these topics. I'm sure digital transformation in the supply chain is going to be a topic that is going to be top of mind for a lot of executives, and it's going to be in the forefront of a lot of conversations for months and years to come. But you know, certainly we provided a lot of good. I think you provided a lot of good food for thought and you know, things for people to think about in the coming months here, you know, to get started in that journey. So again, Greg, thank you very much for making the time to be with us today.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me, Adrian.
I want to thank all of you who joined us live today. We didn't get any questions, but if you do have a question for Greg, if you're watching this on demand on talkinglogistics.com, just find the episode there and you can post your question or comment there. I'm sure Greg will be more than happy to respond via that medium.
Yep.
Again, thank you all for joining us today and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.